see everybody tonight and thank the Lord for his blessings that bring us back this way. We continue, it seems like, to enjoy summer in the middle of January, and it's really nice and good in some ways, and yet it seems to leave us with a lot of sick folks in other ways. We want to be sure and remember everybody that's sick. Betty Ravenbark might be having some kidney stone problems tonight, and you know surely to pray for her with that, and various other ones that have sickness and of course trials of life. We just pray that the Lord would bless and help each one of his people, not only here but everywhere that the people of Christ, they call on his name and worship him in spirit and in truth. We're thankful for strength and health that we can be here, and we rejoice in his goodness to us. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Almighty Father, we just are so privileged and so blessed to be able to come into your presence and to call you our Father. We know it's only because of Christ and you making us your people, calling us your children, telling Christ that we are his own, giving us to him. We thank you that when he ascended back into heaven, having accomplished all that he did, he reminded us that he went to his Father and to our Father. And we are privileged to be able to pray and to bow our head and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We thank you for this great blessing of grace that you have bestowed upon your people. We thank you for your everlasting love and for your almighty power and for your sovereign lordship over all things, that you work all things after the counsel of your own will. And that is the will that we look to tonight and we rejoice in, that Christ doing your will is our salvation, all our salvation. Whatever transpires in our life, that it's ordered for you, it's all according to your will, and we pray for strength and blessing that we might be able to submit to your rule in our life, to regard it a good thing and a blessing to us in Christ. We do pray for these that are sick and unable to be here tonight. We ask that in all their situations, Lord, we don't know all the details. We don't know all the second causes and things of that nature, but we know the first cause. And we pray that when you have accomplished it, your purpose in their lives and in our lives and all these things, Lord, that you'll bring forth the healing that will redound to the praise and glory of your great power and grace and mercy. Help each one and each family member that ministers and those doctors and such that care for these people. We ask, Lord, that we might remember that you are behind each blessing, that you're the healer and you're the giver of life, no matter what means or second causes might be brought to bear. We thank you for all that we have received and do receive of your grace every days of our life. And we thank you most of all for our precious Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the Savior of our soul. We just praise you for that redemption that is by his blood. We ask that this might be kept to our remembrance and made our hope and our single hope all the days of our life. And Lord, we ask that you would help us tonight, enable us tonight to worship you, to call upon your name, to recognize the sacrifice of our Savior, and to draw our hearts to you because we have no other hope. We pray and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Hymn number 19. Sing the mighty power of God.
Please turn with me tonight to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. I want to read some verses. First of all, in chapter 4. Philippians 4, beginning with verse 1. I just happened to touch my glasses, and that's all it takes. Just one of my little greasy fingerprints, and I can't see. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I thought about it today after the message last Wednesday, how I was reminded of how different, how distinctive all the Lord's people are. And they absolutely have to be, being a people out of every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue, out of every background, out of every political opinion, out of every difference and taste, and we could go on and on. But there is a common denominator. And this is because the Lord's people have the work of the Spirit of God in them, revealing the truth. So they are not to be moved by the winds of emotion. They're to be guided by the truth. They're to walk by faith. And they are led by the Spirit. And they demonstrate the grace of God that has been given them, both to them and in them. And oftentimes they demonstrate this grace by how they respond to things. You see, how you view things, how you see things in your mind is how you react or respond to things. And I thought about it in this chapter. It came to my mind how Paul says here in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. And I'll tell you what I thought about when I thought about that word moderation. Moderation is as far from us naturally as the east is from the west. It is not like us. And this requires the grace of God in our hearts. It requires the enablement of the Spirit of God to be what we are not naturally. How are we naturally? Well, hold your place here in Philippians and turn back to Romans chapter 8. This is how we are naturally. And if the Spirit indwells us, we're only enabled to be so spiritually. But look here in Romans 8 and verse 5. He says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Now, he goes on and he says, for to be carnally minded, that's to look at everything, view everything in the light of this flesh, naturally, the way we have done it from birth. He says, for to be carnally minded is death. To look at a way of salvation, naturally, is to look at human works, to trust in human work. But to do so spiritually, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's the look to Christ. He says this, for because the carnal mind, the natural mind, is enmity against God. It naturally hates God. It hates the dominion of God. And so he says here, for it is not subject to the law of God, to any command of God, to the command by the Apostle Paul, let your moderation be known to all men. The carnal mind, the natural mind, is not subject to that in any way, neither indeed can be. And I believe that means that we'll be struggling with that. We'll be dealing with that as long as we are in this body, as long as we possess these natural faculties, this nature of sin, we're going to be dealing with that. And if we weren't, why would God say so much about it? Why would Paul have to say, let your moderation be known to all men? So I looked up moderation. It doesn't necessarily mean what you and I naturally think that it means. The word moderation here in this text has various meanings, but they don't mean just moderation in what you drink or moderation in what you eat. The word moderation here has to do with forbearance. Forbearance. Another definition is gentleness. Another one is reasonableness. But it literally means this. It means to yield. You know, when they say in the Congress, which I hate to even mention and use as an illustration right at this particular time, but when they are in normal procedures and it becomes another's turn to get up and say what he wants to say, he says, I yield the floor to so-and-so. So moderation in this means to yield. We yield something, and we yield it for certain and particular reasons. I want you to turn back in Philippians chapter 1 and just look at what the apostle is continually saying about the mind. I've always quoted that old expression, what's in the well is what comes up in the bucket. And what's in the mind oftentimes is what comes up in the mouth. But listen to him as he comes through this whole epistle, this whole whole letter, talking about things like this. And he says in the first chapter, in verse 27, he says this. He's writing to the church at Philippi. He's writing to these that when we began in verse 1 of chapter 7, he called them over again, my beloved, my joy, my rejoicing. These were the people of Christ. These were people that he had evidence that they were true believers. They believed the gospel. And so he says this, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel, whether I'm come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. All throughout this epistle, Paul is admonishing them. He's praying for them. He's telling them in all of their diversity, in all of their differences of opinions, of all their different tastes and backgrounds, he says this, be with one mind. One mind. And then when you look over in the second chapter, in verse 2 of chapter 2, he says this. He says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That's really simple, isn't it? Look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. And then look at what he says in verse 7. Let this mind, and I guess you could almost say, let this mindset, as we say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, what is he going to give us as an illustration of the mind of Christ? He says in verse 7 or verse 6, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, being God in the flesh, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ not only is the sacrifice for sin, but he's the example of how we are to be of one mind. Humbled himself, even though he was God in flesh, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of just about every other man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the horrible, humiliating death of the cross. All right, look over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I might be wrong. It might be 1 Corinthians. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look down at verse 16. Paul says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord?" Who has known the mind of Jehovah? But he says that he might instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. We know the revelation of Christ's mind. Christ came and he spoke and he spoke and he spoke. And he told out all the things of God. He spoke his mind. And his mind is to be our mind. His will is to be our will. His goal is to be our goal. His humiliation, his humbling himself, all these things, that is the way that we're to be. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, Peter says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Do you have any idea what he means there? Or why he's using that kind of language? Well, in the day that Peter wrote that, a man wore a long flowing robe type garment, which could oftentimes, if he were doing certain things, or if he was involved in a conflict, whatever it was, that could oftentimes get in his way. And so what Peter is saying is, like the man who girds up these long flowing parts of his garment, they would reach down and pull the back hem of the robe up in their garment and tuck it down into the waist, to where they had garments that were more like we wear today, and they would be uncumbered and unhindered in what they had to do. And that's the way our minds are. They're loose. They're long flowing. They run in every direction. They're influenced by everything. Peter says, "Gird up the loins of your mind." Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you, unto you, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when Paul comes to these Philippian believers, they were like every church. This one had their ideas, that one had their opinion. Their backgrounds, I'm sure, were different, just like everybody's is. And they had their own ideas about how things would be done. You know how we are. We have our own opinion, which we highly respect. And evidently, there were two women in the church. Iodas and Syntyche. And he says to them, be of one mind. There's just one mind. Among God's people, we're to be of one mind. What are the goals, or what are the interests of this mind? Well, if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ through the New Testament, we'll find it. But if we think, if we stand back and look at the whole of these New Testament writings especially, there'll be three things. This was the mind of Christ. This was the mind of Paul. And this is the mind to be the mind of every believer. The first thing, the gospel. We're to be of one mind on the gospel as being the most important thing, as being necessary to defend and describe and distinguish and believe and rejoice in the things of Jesus Christ. Paul says, whatever's good, whatever's pure, whatever's of good report. He goes down a whole long list of things, describing them. He says, think on these things. And I'm telling you, that list of things will only fit one person. And that's Christ. You're not to think about my failures, which I have so many they can't even be thought about and numbered, but you're not to look at your brother. You're not to think this and that and the other about the Lord's people, any of them. You're to think on Christ, His truth, His gospel. And it doesn't matter what color our hair is, or whether male or female, or where we came from, whether we're Yankees or rebels, or all these divisions and things like that. We're to be of one mind. Our mind is on Christ. That's our priority. The scripture says that He has been given of God. He had it already, but He's said to have been given it by God, the preeminence. We think on Him. If you get to seeing how poorly I am, just think on Christ. If you think I fail you, if you think I disappoint you, I know I do, but Christ never has. Think on Him. Meditate on Him, His work, and all that He has accomplished for us, His grace to us. We're to meditate on these things. The mind is to be filled with the things of Christ. That's why I urge you to read the Word. If you read the newspaper, if you read some novel, you read something else, your mind is going to be full of those things. You watch the news all the time. We're to have this mind that's on Christ Jesus. I give you the second thing. Our mind is to be centered on glorifying God. Glorifying God. Said whether you eat or you drink, do it to the glory of God. Whether you work, if your work is not satisfactory, or if you don't feel, what is that word that they use? If you don't feel accomplished, or if you don't feel fulfilled in your work, whatever your work is, do that work the best you can for the glory of God. Live your life for the glory of God. Have your mind set on this one thing, to live for His glory, to promote His glory. Then you won't worry so much about glorifying yourself. Then you won't have to, you won't be offended because somebody didn't acknowledge your gift, or somebody didn't thank you for this, or somebody, it's all for God's glory. We don't matter in this thing. We don't have any reason at any point in time on this earth to glory in anything. If he that glorieth, let him be of one mind. Let him glory in the Lord. And then here's the third thing. We're to have our hearts and minds. We're to be one-minded, concerned for the welfare of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Many years ago, it came to my mind with such a realty, such a vividness, as to who I would spend eternity with as my family. Oh, there's all kinds of religions, and most of them never break that family tie on earth. We're going to go to heaven and be with Papa, and we're going to go to heaven and spend eternity with our husband and our children and our friends. No. In heaven, there's neither marrying, giving a marriage. But every single person there is married to Christ. Every single one there will have God as their Father, be the children of God. And that makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are to be of one mind as to the welfare, the well-being of all our family. What does it say? A man that won't provide for his own family is worse than an infidel. What do you think that's for? Just a moral lesson? All believers, and especially all believers in the fellowship wherever the Lord has put us, but all believers are to provide for their family. I'm not just talking about monetarily. I'm talking about genuine concern. I'm talking about communication. I'm talking about the lifting up and encouragement of each other. And I'm the worst. I'm the worst. But in all those things, we're to be one-minded. We're to be of one mind. We might not be able to agree on who the best football team is, which is the best political party, and an endless list of things that divide people. But we're to agree on this. The gospel. Christ is all. And everything is to be to His glory. And we're to love the brethren. And their welfare is to be our chief concern in this world. If we be one-minded. Because when you stop and think about it, that was the mind of Christ. We don't have to wonder. He came forth speaking the gospel, telling everybody the gospel, defending the gospel. He was always chiefly concerned about the glory of God. And he was always concerned about his people, his children. May the Lord help us. Give us grace, because it's not natural. It's not natural. Why? Because it's of God. Because God commands it. And our natural minds always rebel against that. Our Father, tonight we pray that we might have the mind of Christ. That we might be, fill our minds with the things of Christ, with the gospel of His grace. Help us to seek Your glory above all glory. And help us to be mindful and caring of Your people. Help us to not distinguish among them, but to view all alike as our brothers and our sisters. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.